been 84 years. Andrei Cordova.
It's all because of Sydney traffic. Matteo.
And welcome to Sabotage. Hi, Matteo.
Hey, Andre, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thanks. It's been a long while, hey.
I think this is going to be the longest conversation we've ever had in person.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. We're here to talk about DJs.
DJs, yes.
So that's what you are, allegedly.
That's what I became, yes.
Exactly.
I'm a new face.
A new face on the DJ scene.
Yes, I am.
What inspired you to become a DJ then?
I used to like be a good boy, you know, like in the sense of like I wouldn't go out much, you know, I would only like go out till like 1 a.m. Then at 1 a.m. I would be already drunk. So I would just go home, and that was like my sort of like party life. Very much like the type of guy who would prefer house parties with my friends and things like that.
Yeah, I get that.
I've been here in Sydney for 8 years. And before COVID, I only went to work like once.
So
that's just to give you an idea of how good I was. Considering I'm a gay guy, you know?
Yeah.
And I was always in a relationship, you know, like not going out much. Anyway. And then like I broke up with my partner. We have been together for 3 years, and then we broke up. And during the breakup, a friend of mine invited me to a party.
Okay.
This is Finale 2 years ago.
Right.
And I went to that party, Andre, and they wasn't going back, you know.
Yeah.
Like
you were converted.
That party changed my life.
It changed your life
so much that now I'm a DJ, you know.
Wow.
I didn't have enough just going to the parties, but I decided to become a part of the party.
You wanted to be employed by the party.
Basically, yes. I just loved it. It was such a nice experience, you know, the having the DJs on stage, having everybody like having fun, dancing, all these topless gay guys.
Yeah.
I just loved it. And then, well, here I am.
So
I became DJ Di Matteo.
Yeah. DJ Di Matteo.
Di Matteo, yeah.
Okay, I like that.
Do you want to know why?
Why?
My name is David Matteo. No one calls me David.
You know,
not even my mom. I don't know why she gave me that first name, but, you know, if it's there, I said, I'm going to use it. So I just, you know, shortened it a bit, and it's Di Matteo.
That's clever. I like that. Yeah, so the atmosphere really drove you to become a DJ, I guess.
Indeed.
So we have your friend to blame.
Yes.
Today, what to thank? I don't know.
How old were you when you experienced like your first gay party, you know, with big gay party?
Honestly, I was very much like you for ages.
My age?
No.
29, 30.
No, I've not reached that yet. Okay. I'm not as old as you.
Jesus Christ.
But no, like for quite a while, when it came to clubbing and stuff like that, like I didn't drink that often or much at all.
Okay.
And I rarely went out. So it really wasn't until the past couple years, mostly the past year, that I've done way more of that. Okay. I think like the first time I went full on with it was literally World Pride.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Bro, I loved World Pride. It was so good.
Yeah, it was a great time for sure.
Yeah.
But that's pretty much like, you know, obviously I'd been out, you know, to ARC or Universal or whatever prior to that, but only now and then would I pull these long nights, because part of the issue as well, for those who don't know, in Sydney, they don't have trains running all night. I live in Western Sydney, and the last train is like sometimes 12 something, maybe 1 a.m. And then after that, the early train is not until like 4:50. So if you're going to stay out clubbing, you have to commit.
You have to commit.
Or find somewhere to sleep. But,
but would that be too difficult?
No. But look, I'm used to that now. And like, if I really need to go home, I'll just get the fucking night bus. But it's not a good time. I don't really have the option sometimes. Like if I'm going to go out, I have to decide, okay, I'm going to get the last train or I'm going to stay out.
Stay out.
All night.
That's what I would do.
Oh no, I've seen that.
I really want to know what you mean.
I know that one time I saw you at Universal, like upstairs, because we both happened to be out late and you were gone.
Jesus.
I'm pretty sure you were on something.
So. Oh, Jesus Christ. That's my favorite club party that they have upstairs. The music is so good, and actually, that's the music that I like mixing. I like mixing circuit and bit of tribal, progressive house.
Yeah,
and that's the type of party that they deliver upstairs.
I was going to ask about that, yeah.
Yeah, which is really good. So maybe that you saw me just doing some sort of like research for, yeah, for my music.
Some topless research going on.
Of course,
upstairs.
You have to, you know, get immersed in the environment. It's all for research purposes. Also, like, I love going with my mates. I have, you know, with my closest mates, we all go together. We have fun, you know, look after each other. It's just a nice experience with your mates, having fun, listening to music, having a few drinks, you know. It's good.
The reason I go is to dance with friends. Like, I love that.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. It's a good bonding experience as well, hey.
For sure.
Yeah.
And it really, like, can test or expose some of the friendships you have. Because if you don't have good people around you, you'll see it on a night out. And, like, the way that they treat you, whether they just abandon you, or, like, you know, if you're not doing so good, maybe you've had too much to drink. Do you know what I mean? That's the kind of music you like mixing. Do you have playlists of, like, for any type of gig, or do you focus on, like, that specifically?
Yeah, I've picked the type of DJ that I want to be.
Yeah, so you're like, this is the genre that I do.
Yeah, I'm not that versatile. Not when it comes to DJing.
Okay, good to know.
Yeah, when it comes to DJing, I like circuit, and, you know, if anybody wants a circuit DJ, that'll be me.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, there are so many other talented guys out there. And actually, you know, I've been contacted by people, and they're like, oh, you know, we have this event here and there. And I read the type of crowd that might go to the event.
Yeah.
And the timing, the place, everything. And sometimes you're just not the suitable DJ for the event. And I just, you know, link people with the right DJ for the right event.
Mm.
But circuit is what I love. You don't like circuit, do you?
No, well, I've done it. Like, I've been to it. Like, I think it depends. Look, I have a gripe with certain DJ music. Like, when it comes to the really repetitive stuff, I mean, I get bored.
Repetitive?
Like, yeah, like, if it's just the same beat over every song. Because that happens a lot. And I'm like, okay, please change it up. In saying that, like, I think the best music to dance to, and surely you have to agree with this, but I don't know, we'll see, because you could have been converted by the DJ world. Like, Latin music is
Latin music.
Always going to be the best to really dance to, I think.
You mean reggaeton type of thing?
Well, like, because I've been to Escándalo at Cancelas.
Oh, okay, yes.
And it's so much fun. Like, you get to dance in a way that's not just this side-to-side bullshit that all the white people do at Universal. Like, it's like, if you can move your hips, you can fucking move your hips. Like, it's fun. I think I prefer Sanctuary over Deja Vu.
Sanctuary, so Friday night.
Yeah.
Friday night.
Partially because it's free entry, whereas you have to pay to go to Deja Vu.
Yeah.
But
you do.
Also because I think the music on Fridays is like a bit poppier sometimes.
It's housier, you know?
Housier, yeah.
But, which is the first part of the Deja Vu party as well. You know, before 1 a.m., if you go to Deja Vu, that's what you're going to get. It's there are very nice DJs playing at that time. They're really good at, like, delivering that type of party. Housey, poppy.
Yeah.
James Alexander is one of them. Salomix.
Right.
And then before 1 a.m., that's what you get. After 1 a.m., yeah, you get circuit. But what I was going to say before is that it's funny because when I tell people that I play circuit, like, you know, circuit is like Donald Trump, you know, really controversial. Half of the population loves circuit, the other half hates it. It's a bit like that, hey, you know, don't worry, I know. When people tell me the reasons why they hate it, like, sometimes they're like, oh, you know, I like singing. That's what they say to me. They say, like, oh, I like vocals, I like singing. And I'm like, what do you mean? You know, like, there are vocals in circuit. Yeah, fair enough.
There's barely vocals in circuit music. It's very, like, dry, kind of like one liners here and there, generally speaking. But I think by the whole vocals thing, like, I like it too, where you can dance and sing along to a song because you recognize it. And it's like, you know, it's just like a maybe like a remix of a popular song. But yeah, I mean, I can enjoy Circuit too. I do think I have to be like high to enjoy it more.
I think there are lots of vocal moments in Circuit that you can sing and then that. But yeah. there's also, you know, the explosive moment where, like, you know, you don't care about singing, but you just
want to, yeah, like, drop.
Yeah, shake, yeah, it, and then the drop. Yeah, exactly. What I love about Circuit as well is that it's so easy. It's like it's like house, you know. You can turn anything into Circuit. Well, most things.
Yeah.
For instance, you know, I've heard already, like, Texas Hold'em in Circuit versions, and it's working really well. And it's country music mixed into Circuit.
Yeah,
so
of course.
It's like
you can sort of apply it to anything.
Yeah.
Like, how many gigs have you done at Deja Vu so far?
I've done a few. Yeah? I've done a few. I started gigging there last year. And I think it's been like once a month, sometimes twice, but
okay,
you know, pretty much like once a month I get a gig, yeah, at Deja Vu.
I think you got some Mardi Gras ones too.
I play at Finale. Well, and it was so good because that was the party that got me into this.
Yeah, you know? So, it was meant to be. Yeah. It was fate.
So my
circle of life.
Yeah, it was celebrating my anniversary of the clubbing life.
Yeah.
It was good to be a part of that party, especially this year, because it was amazing. Really nice DJs performing there, downstairs in the main room.
Yeah.
We had Fede Legrand.
Mm.
That guy was... I really liked it. And Louise came from Brazil. She's, you know, one of the big ones in the circuit,
wow, yeah,
industry. And she, even my friends, you know, I have friends who love circuit, other friends that don't, they're not the biggest fans. And even the ones that, you know, don't love it, they enjoy Anne Louise set so much. So it was so good. And then I was on at 8 a.m. upstairs, like, oh, at, wow, at the after. I played from 8 till 10, 2 hours, and it was really good. Good vibes. Finale was good. It was. I'm really proud to say that I was a part of that party. Mm. So good. It was good. Did you go?
No.
Oh my God. You missed out in a really good party.
Yeah, I only went to a few events during Mardi Gras this year because everything was so overpriced. And I was like, I'm not paying $240 to be at anything.
I was keen to go to the Bondi Beach party, but
it wasn't that great.
Well,
no, like, it was okay. It was fine.
It's good to know because I didn't go.
Yeah.
But the reason why I didn't is because when they announced the party and the price, the ticket price, they never said who was performing.
Exactly. You know? No, that's been an issue lately.
And yeah, fair enough. You know, that's been the case with the main, you know, Mardi Gras main party a few times. And at the end of the day, you get a lovely surprise. But this time, they really took, you know, a long time to say who was performing. And I said, like, you know what? It's too expensive for me to just pay for the ticket without knowing what I'm going to get. Come on, you know, you need to know.
Oh, I went to the Paradiso pool party as well because a friend got me a ticket.
Was that on Monday? On a Monday?
It was on a Monday.
On a Monday. How I saw, and it was quite good.
Yeah,
saw
I enjoyed
some
it.
Stories.
Like, I had a good time there. And look, Bondi Beach wasn't that bad either.
In that party?
Bit of circuit. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. So good.
But you know what made it better compared to the Bondi Beach one was like the weather. It was just nicer that day because Bondi Beach was fine. I did enjoy it with friends, but the weather was pretty shit. It was like storm clouds, rainy, and then it did pour eventually and that kind of thing. But Paradiso was good.
There were so many good parties around Mardi Gras. I mean, you know, sometimes you wish you could do them all.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, if you have unlimited funds, sure. Because the thing
and
that
energy and
that too, because they don't factor in the cost of like drinks on top of entry. It's like you realize, like, unless I can bring my flask in, then I don't know how you expect people to pay for the drinks that are overpriced on top of overpriced tickets. Like, well, that's just me.
What I loved about World Pride the most is that it took me back to the time when I first arrived in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, you're in a new city and you feel like you're on holidays the whole time.
It does feel like that. Yeah. I mean, technically, like, Greg can concur. During that time, I didn't come to the studio. During World Pride, I was like, I'm going to be gone for a couple of weeks. With DJing.
Go on.
Is it as easy as everyone claims? Do you just rock up and press a couple buttons? Is that what happens?
But are we talking about mixing? Mixing the music, or what do you mean?
Well, when you show up to the gig, you know, I guess because, look, the work would be before that, right?
You mean that everything's pre...
Oh, no, technically, no. I guess you got to, like, make adjustments from whoever was there before you, right?
It could be as easy as that, I guess. And I guess that some... but this is me just making assumptions. Like, I'm
based off your experience.
Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks. I always live mix. You know, I've never stand up on stage pressing a button here or in just letting the set go.
Yeah.
I always live mix. But I guess that, you know, depending on the performance, some DJs, especially circuit DJs, they're not just there mixing. I don't know if you know Mario Beckmann, for example. Mm-mm. Well, he's Brazilian as well. He's one of the big circuit DJs as well. I don't know if he mixes live or not, but his performance and his shows are not just him there playing.
Yeah.
He dances, has dances and he joins the dances and he goes in that and does like...
That's really cool. This.
It's so cool. You can watch his videos on YouTube. Yeah. It's such a cool performance. Also, he's very handsome. So, it's worth watching.
Yeah, and, very good incentive. Yeah.
Yes. Maybe in those cases, if I were him, I would consider playing a set that's already recorded. But I don't think... It's that simple. It's not super difficult. It's not rocket science. It's not something, you know, like, oh my God, you know, all the things that these guys are doing. But you definitely need to know what you're doing in order to stand up there. Like no random could just go there and move a button here and another one. And then this, let me tell you that.
No, I know. Especially like as a musician, I figured as much. It's just funny to make fun of, I guess. That's what a lot of people tend to do when it comes to DJing. It's like the easy... route, but realistically there is more to it than people may perceive.
Absolutely.
And
yes.
I think that, you know, you are on stage, everyone can see you.
Yes.
And it's always good to put on a show.
But I'm gonna tell you what, maybe the people that say that it's that easy is because they're only considering the technical part of it.
Yeah.
You know, the technical part of DJing you can learn, and then you can just like put one song and another song together and yeah, that's it. But the real challenge is managing the energy.
Yes.
So that's the real challenge when you're DJing, managing the energy. And when you put one song and another together, that the energy flows naturally and keeps the person who's enjoying the party going and, you know, smoothly.
Yeah, you can't interrupt that shit, which is actually something that happened at ARC.
Happens at ARC.
It did. Like,
bro, let me tell you.
Yeah.
If they don't manage your energy well, you straight away notice it and you know that
the
party is going to be shit. There are three things that make a party really, and this is me, like, who started clubbing only like 2 years ago, but yeah. I observe and I analyze, and there are three things that I think that make a party real, real good.
Okay.
And the music is definitely one of those, you know, managing the energy well, it's the best thing.
Absolutely.
The other two is like good looking boys. not good looking boys, the crowd, I would say. It doesn't matter if they're good looking or not. If the crowd, if there's a good crowd, you know, makes a party a nice party. And the third one is a few shots, of course.
Yeah, not being sober helps a lot.
Not being sober, let me put it that way. Not being sober.
Because I remember it wasn't even that long ago at ARC, the last time I was there, and probably the last time I will be there, they had a DJ, the music was kind of weird. And then I think when they were changing DJs, there was like a transition or something, the music stopped. The music stopped for a solid like, maybe like a minute.
Oh, also, okay. Oh wow, okay.
Yeah, like it feels like a long time because there's like nothing.
building up again after that longer pause, it's a bit of a challenge, hey? But yeah.
It was so awkward.
That reminds me of the 40 minutes that they kept us waiting at Bondi Beach during World Pride with like background music.
Because I didn't go to that one.
Oh, you didn't go to that one?
No, I just went to this year's one.
Who was the main performer at that party? I can't Nicole, pronounce her last name. Yeah, Nicole.
So yeah, Nicole was the headline or one of them.
How do you pronounce her last name? Scheringer.
I don't know. And I don't really care, if I'm completely honest.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, she was performing and I don't know if she was late. Some people said that she was late. I don't know what the reason was. But we were kept waiting for like, I think it was around 40 minutes.
Fuck that.
With the same loop. But it was like music for a lounge, waiting like at a... You know, are you a dentist?
Oh my God.
Or something?
You had like elevator music playing.
I swear to God, it was elevator music for 40 minutes in a loop. Mm. And we were like, what is this, bro? You know?
No, that's so bad.
Yeah. And then eventually she came out and her show was good. But those 40 minutes were not fun.
Mm. People have already paid for their tickets. So they're going to stay to see the headline act. You're not just going to walk out as much as you want to.
Yeah.
So it's kind of bullshit that they can get away with doing that.
Yeah, but in a way, that's stealing party time from you as well. Because I remember that because of that, then the last DJ only got to perform like 20 minutes.
I heard, yeah.
And she was good. You know, she was delivering something really nice. So anyways.
Yeah, that's a shame.
Managing the energy is a big challenge.
And time, clearly. And
it's not that easy. Believe me, it's not that easy.
Have you had any bad experiences?
Of course, I've had really good nights where I can see that, you know, everybody's vibing and the set is like, you know, absolutely smashing it and making everybody dance. But and I've had days where, you know, what you thought was going to work sometimes doesn't. But the good thing about mixing live is that if you see that something's not working, then you can try
salvage it.
You can try maybe something else. But yeah, I've definitely had days where, and believe me, it's not nice. after a night where you think that you didn't do really well, you go home feeling awful. You're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
But it's part of the journey. It's part of the DJ journey. I think overall it's been good. It's been a nice experience.
There's a sense of vulnerability that comes with being on stage regardless of what you do. So whether it's a music act or being a DJ, like when you're doing stuff live, things can go wrong. I totally get that with...
Yeah.
I mean... I'm an incredible performer though, so I don't know. I'm really fucking good at what I do. So
I've seen you. Have you performing? Yeah.
Oh, you've seen me sing. That's a bit different. That's karaoke's different. I'll tell you why.
Go on.
For karaoke, I'll just sing the track because I'm there with my friends. Like when I perform as an artist, I put on a show.
Oh, okay.
So it's very different. Like I put on a show at Universal late last year it was like the Kingdom single launch. And I was so fucking good. You can still see the highlights on my Insta stories, but like I had like dances and stuff and performed live. And
is it on YouTube or something?
No. So I had a couple people lined up to film the event. One of them was Greg, one of them was Zoe, and neither of them could make it.
Oh no.
Like last minute, it was unfortunate. But so I just have like the stories on Instagram. I put it into like a highlights reel. So if you want to see some of that, just from people's phones, that was all I had. But I was really fucking good. So
nice, very nice. Well, next time, invite me.
Yeah. You can be the DJ for it. As well, I had a DJ at the
time.
Well,
are you gonna dance to circuit?
Oh, then again, circuit music.
remember.
Maybe if it's like if I perform upstairs at Universal, because it was downstairs for this one. But if I do that, maybe.
Do you know, now that you say that, you know, if you perform upstairs, something that I find really cool is that before I used to see all the drag queen performances at, you know, the Beresford or Stonewall.
Yeah.
In Universal downstairs, and obviously they always perform songs that sometimes, you know, don't fit super well, or at these venues I had seen them perform songs that don't fit really well with the flow of a circuit party. But then at Deja Vu and at Finale, for example, as well, I saw drag queens performing to circuit songs, and it's just such a cool thing to watch as well.
Yeah.
Or horror win as well.
For sure.
Yeah. So those drag queen performances are also like something, you know, pretty cool, interesting, because it's not like the big break of like, you know, stop the music and then there's a drag queen performance. It's more like the drag queens joining the natural flow of the party, which
for
is
sure.
which is really cool. We get it all, bro. We get it all in the secret party.
Yeah, I bet. Do you take requests, or is that just an annoying thing that
please,
people do?
No, no. Please, you
like know. On the night, do you get people who try to do that?
Unless, look, I've had requests and I've had requests. but overall, if you ask me, I would say I wouldn't recommend to request songs to a DJ at a club.
Event.
Club event, yeah.
God, no.
But there's been situations where, like, you know, it's a bit more informal, and then, you know, yeah, if you want to request something and if the DJ has it,
yeah,
obviously we're going to play. But most times it's like, you know, I don't know, weird requests. You know, there's always this straight girl trying to request a straight song at a gay club, and you're like, come on, you need to know where you're at.
Yeah, you need to know where you are, bitch. Self-awareness goes a long way.
It's awkward for us, awkward for the person there, because you have to say no.
Yeah.
So please.
Also, I feel like, what are you going to say?
Just don't do
it. Just don't do it. Because I feel like as well, if you take one request, it would open the floodgates and then more people
Imagine.
Will come to request.
No, and what happens is, like, when you try to please everybody, you end up pleasing no one.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
For sure.
Hmm.
Do you do house parties? Do you do house, like...
I've done it.
Going to, yeah?
I've done it.
How's that?
Well, some of them have been very fun.
Uh-huh.
I remember that, like, when I was just starting, you know, with DJing, at the time I hadn't performed at like big events or anything like that. And this woman hired me to like gig at her place, and it didn't go well at all. It was a house in what is this really rich neighborhood in?
Oh shit! You went to do it for the white people.
Yes. Dover Heights. It was a house in Dover Heights, and very nice house, and I was very excited to play and everything, but all these women started to request songs, and I was trying to, you know, please. This is why I know this, that where I got that takeaway from.
Yeah.
Because half of the party were Latino girls, Latinas.
Mm-hmm.
The other half were like white girls.
Yeah.
So if I was trying to satisfy the Latinas, the white girls would sit down.
Yeah.
And then if I play something for the white girls, then the other half of the Latinas were like, oh my God, no, we want more reggaeton. Please, please play. So it wasn't fun. That was, you know, just not a nice experience. Very grateful that they, you know, thought of me at the time. And at the time, I was like, all right, well, you know, if I'm a DJ, I think I can try to be versatile and, you know, seize the opportunity and make some extra money, et cetera, et cetera. But I realized that, look, or at least in my case, I prefer to just, you know, focus on what I want to do and what I enjoy. And that's what I deliver. But yeah, at that time, it was awful.
You're like, I have PTSD from that event.
I remember I took a friend with me, and then when we left the house, we were like, oh my God, we were both drained. Jesus. Some of the house parties have been more successful.
You stick to the gay ones?
Yeah. Stick to the gays. Stick to the gays.
Yeah.
At work, because I work at a company Monday to Friday, and sometimes, because I obviously my social media and everything just now screams DJ.
Yeah.
My company loves throwing parties. And then they're like, when are you going to play? And I'm like, I don't think you want me playing at company events. Imagine that. I always tell them, like, I only play for, like, the topless boys.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I tell them.
It's an easy way to put it.
They love, yeah. they get it.
Yeah. What's your favorite kind of gig to do?
I don't mind the size of it, if it's big, if it's small, but I like the events where I can sort of like feel close to the people that I'm playing for.
Right.
You know, sometimes you feel like you like far away from them, a bit disconnected, but as long as you feel close to the people you're playing for, you know, I feel like I enjoy it.
You want to be a part of the party.
Also, my favorite type of gigs is when they love what I'm playing. DJing has been a very nice experience.
Yeah.
And I'm a new face, you know. I've been only DJing for a year or a year and a half. I feel like a lot of people have had that call at some point in their lives. Have you had it yet?
The call to be a DJ?
They call to be a DJ, yes.
No, I have not had that call.
Okay.
If I had that call, I just let it ring out and went to voicemail.
No, but it's true. I've heard like everybody like, oh, you know, I try to be a DJ or I wanted to be a DJ.
I've never tried.
Like,
no, I've never thought.
Well, you're still
trying.
Young. We'll talk in 5 years.
Oh, my God. No, I was like... always a performer.
Always a performer. Well, that DJ can be a performer too.
Yeah, but I like singing and rapping and, you know, writing my own music and performing that. I should be performing more, to be honest. Is there anything that you don't like about the process?
Yes. Yes,
there is. What is it?
You don't get a break from, like, having to find the new songs and then...
Yeah, you got to stay up to date.
Absolutely. You got to stay up to date. You have to... In a way, look, I used to love music, but I do know that my relationship with music is not the same before and after being a DJ.
Really?
It changed because now music is like, all right, what's popular? Fair enough. You have to find the balance between what you like and with the type of DJ that you wanna be, but also you need to know the people that you're playing for. Some DJs play for themselves.
Oh, we can tell.
I think it's important to find the balance between those two. Playing for yourself, but also like knowing your target. Have I been playing this too much? Am I gonna become just the same song guy? You know, like there's lots of challenges with being a DJ, and it's a non-stop job. You're always like, you know, searching here, searching there, talking to producers, getting new songs. You have to invest. Mm-hmm. People think that we can just, which is another thing that people need to know, like, being a DJ, it's similar to watching a video on YouTube in the sense that if you're going to project a video in a big screen, if the quality is not good, it's going to be blurry and you're not going to be able to. It's the same with music. The speakers at the club, that scale of sound, you know, it requires good quality music and you need to get it in that high quality for it to sound good at the club.
Right.
So you have to invest. You have to buy these things.
The equipment.
Good quality music. It's not just, you can just pull a song from Spotify and play. You know what I mean?
That's like the admin work.
Admin work.
Of DJing.
Yeah. Maybe if I had an assistant in a couple of years.
For sure. I see that in your future.
Yes. No, thanks.
Do you DJ topless?
I've done it.
I know you have. I know you have, bitch.
I've done it, but if you go to my my stories and my posts, you won't find me playing topless like in many of the posts.
Uh-huh.
Because I've only done it when...
I feel like I've seen it like at least once.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I've done it. I've definitely done it, but not always the case. It's funny because like I have a friend that says that, Oh, you know, 50% of being a DJ is being
topless,
being hand, you know, having a good body. And
at least with the gay DJs, they tend to have like a fit body of some description like a nice enough face, I guess.
Yeah. We love them. Who doesn't love a hot DJ? Come on, bro.
Yeah, that, exactly.
It's definitely a good addition to the whole DJ experience.
Mm.
But it's not a must.
Oh yeah, looks amount to nothing if you don't know what you're fucking doing.
But also, like, if you're working on managing the energy and trying to deliver a good party, and at the same time you're offering, you know, a bit of like looks here and there and a bit of muscle here and there, why not? It's a good combo. It's a good combo. If you take advantage of it, if it's there.
Yeah, you know exactly. You know exactly what you're getting with.
Absolutely.
With Matteo.
Jesus said, if you've been given a talent, you have to go and exploit it. You know what I mean?
That's what Jesus said.
Jesus said that. There's a gospel of Jesus that says, more or less, don't bury your talents.
Yeah.
You have to, you know,
exploit them for money.
Use them. Oh, Andre, you make me laugh, bro.
Oh, God. Well, I think that is a solid discussion on DJs, the DJ world. Though, actually, real quick, have you come across any DJs you don't like? You know, was there anyone you've had to, like, sort of work alongside, maybe for the same event, and they weren't a nice person? He's like, can I say this?
It's been alright so far.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's hope it stays that way.
Sorry, I have nothing bad to say about anybody.
Nothing juicy. You're just like, oh, they're all lovely people. I'm like, well, fuck.
Yes.
Maybe you just haven't met them yet.
Yeah. Maybe I haven't met them.
Yeah.
Or maybe I know how to manage them very well.
I think, you know what? Somehow I think your looks kind of help.
Oh, shut up.
Bitch, I've seen you topless. Shut the fuck up.
Well, thank you very much for the compliment.
Yeah. So thank you for being here, Matteo.
Thank you for inviting me. This was very, you know, it was fun. I loved it. It was good.
Yeah.
The Prosecco helped.
Of course it does.
It helped.
It always does.
I needed this.
I bet. So that concludes our episode on DJs. This has been Sabotage.
There you go.
I
had too many of those.
This has been Sabotage. Good try.
Oh, that wasn't...
It was meant to be a whisper.
Again.
All right. This has been Sabotage. Do you know how to whisper?
Okay, all right. Let's do it again.
Oh, for fuck's sake. All right.